Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa Campbell is here producing and screening your calls. If you're listening online and you'd like to join into the call, if you have any questions, comments, topics, whatever it might be, in order to join the call, you need to dial in on the live phone line. That phone number is 347-884-8327. Those lines are filling up quickly. So if you want to jump in, dial that now, 347-884-8327. If you're already on that phone line and you've got a question, a comment, a topic, whatever it might be, press 1 on your phone and Lisa will get to you and screen your calls. We've got a lot of stuff and I want to get right to it tonight. I've got a lot of information on rates that I want to get to tonight. I've also got the 2010 Broker Benchmark Survey. This is something that comes out once a year. I talked about this last year when it came out. There's some interesting numbers in here. This gives us a lot of insight into what goes on from the broker's side of things as far as rates and payroll and load availability and equipment type, business type, all kinds of information in this. I'm going to talk about it some tonight, and I will try to get it posted up on the website tomorrow for you to look at as well. Tonight, though, I've got a special guest, and I want to get right to it, and maybe we'll go through some of the numbers together, but I see we've already got some calls on the line. So my guest tonight is Rocco D'Afonso from Landstar. He is the Executive Vice President of Agent and Capacity Development, and we're going to talk about all kinds of things. I have a whole list of questions I want to ask him. You can ask him any question you want as far as Landstar system and how they do things and the opportunities that are available over there. So I'm going to bring Rocco on with this. Now, Rocco, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you having me.
Wow, you sound great tonight, too. Good phone line.
Good.
Great to have you here. And I understand you're doing a little traveling these days, huh?
I am doing a little bit of traveling, calling you from Landstar's offices in Rockford, Illinois tonight.
Ah, all right. Interesting. So I know you follow some of the same freight indexes that I do. Did you get to look at them this week?
I did get to look at them, and you saw what I saw, Kevin. Boy, things are picking up, sure seems like.
It's just everybody, and I don't know why I continue to believe the analysts and their predictions. They're almost always wrong. You know, for the whole downturn, they kept telling us, well, it's going to turn around next quarter and next quarter and next quarter. And then they finally said, oh, you know what, don't even bother. Nothing's going to happen in 2010. You know, we'll see this long, slow progression back out of this. And all of a sudden in February, we saw some really good activity, I thought, for January, considering it was January.
Mm-hmm.
February took off, and March has just been kind of insane. when you I look at the two big load boards, TransCore and Internet Truck Stop, and we're seeing increases of like 10% every week.
Getting busy. It really is. It really is getting busy out there, Kevin. And we talked a little bit on Saturday. You know what you have, I think, is some return of demand at the same time as we've had. I think we all know we've seen some reduction in supply. Everyone knows what happened with Aero Trucking over the holidays. But you know, there's just not as many trucks on the road today or available to move today as there was 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, I think maybe this is, and I've talked about this probably for a year and a half, is that, and I don't know exactly how to, you know, figure out this phenomenon, but I've seen it happen before. It's like we struggle through those downtimes when there isn't a lot of freight, rates are down, and it seems like a lot of carriers are able to hold on. There was even a term for a while being thrown around in the industry called zombie truckers, fleets that were being kept afloat because the banks just didn't want to repossess their equipment because the banks had so much equipment sitting. And it seems like, and I'm not sure why this happens, but it seems like a lot of those people that just barely hold on, they start to fall off the edge just when things are turning around. It's almost like the increased activity starts to put some of those, you know, carriers and owner-operators that are on the edge out of business, and I'm not sure why that is.
Well, I'm not sure why that is either, Kevin, but you know, fuel is up significantly year over year, so that puts a pinch on folks who maybe were already pinched, and this time of year, we're a little bit past it now, but this time of year is plate renewal time, and
yeah,
you can't string that out.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that, and that could be a good prediction on what's going on. It's just first quarter in trucking is always tough. We do have a lot of expenses in the first quarter, and then you combine it with, like you said, fuel prices. I just looked today, and this kind of snuck up on us in the last couple weeks too. Fuel's up to $3.06 a gallon is the national average today. I like that.
It snuck up on us is a good phrase because it didn't happen 10 and 15 cents at a time, so we were all up in arms about it. It happened 2 cents here, 5 cents there, and then one day you look, and like you say, it's $3.06.
Yeah, it's so, you know, some really interesting numbers. I'm going to go over just a couple of them real quick. Week over week again, and this is for the final week in March. The indexes are usually a week or two behind depending on, you know, when we get them, but this would be for the final week in March. And the spot market load index was up 9%, and the truck index was down almost 1%. So another 10% swing, and I think last week it was 16%, which was big. You know, if we look at February year over year from 2010 to 2009, the spot market load index was up 168%. Now, I think next week we'll be able to get the March over March numbers, and I'm expecting it to be pretty big. I mean, I think there's going to be a really drastic increase, but it's all good. And you know, it's really across the board in dry van, flatbed, and reefer. The one really climbing the most right now is flatbed. I mean,
go ahead.
Was up 18% this week.
We have seen some demand on the flatbed side that very similar to that, Kevin, very similar to that.
That's good to see. You know, one of the reasons that I spend all the time on the indexes and I try to keep people on the website updated on this stuff, and I do it every week on the podcast, is because knowing these numbers help us to position ourselves in the market where we need to be. You know, and the predictions aren't always right, but we can still, you know, if we're watching these numbers, we can stay ahead of these trends. And 2 years ago, I was telling people, look, if you're not in a percentage contract right now, I wouldn't move to one. But I was also telling people, if you're in a percentage contract and you know what you're doing and you know how to negotiate and you watch the loads and you understand lanes, you know, ride it out. You know, it's going to be tough when rates go down, but if you're good at it, you're still going to do probably just as good as a guaranteed mileage contract. So when, and this is what I've taught for years, when you're good at a percentage contract and you understand reins and rates and lanes, you can do well even in the down times. You're not going to do great, but you can hold your own. So if you're good, you can protect the downside.
Right.
And
right.
If you don't understand that, I've told people, look, just stick with the mileage contract until you figure out some of those things. And, you know, you don't want to jump to a percentage contract in a really bad market like we were in. But when we're in a good market, when freight is coming back and, you know, rates are looking stronger, that's the time to really consider being in a percentage contract, because there's a lot more upside. You know, when we're in a mileage contract, it's nice that there's a little more freight around and, you know, it gives you some options, but it doesn't do a whole lot for your revenue. On a percentage contract, there's the ability to take advantage of the fact that there's more freight available, there are more lanes to choose from, you know, and there's much more of an upside.
You know, you're exactly right, Kevin. In a mileage-based system, if you want to make more money, you have to drive more miles. There just isn't any way around that. A percentage-based business like you did, I said at the start of this call, we're seeing a little bit of a increase in demand at the same time that we've got a reduction in supply. And that's a recipe for increasing rates. And in a percentage-based system, like Landstar, for example, when the rates go up, the owner-operator gets the benefit of that right away. There's no driving more miles. There's no waiting for the carrier to raise the mileage rate. When the rate goes up from the customer, the rate goes up to the owner-operator, Landstar. We call them business capacity owners or BCOs. But it's immediate on that load.
Yeah, literally immediate. When you book the load, you're going to get paid more on that load. And here's the other thing. You know, you mentioned if rates are rising, you know, and you're on a mileage contract waiting for the carrier to raise rates, I don't see that happening anytime soon in this industry, because carriers are so far behind. I mean, carriers were struggling just as much as anybody else, and I think they've got a lot of ground to make up before they're going to consider raising mileage rates.
Yeah, before they'll consider raising the mileage rate, yes, that they're paying to their owner-operator.
Yeah.
Right. I think you're right.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. In fact, we're still seeing some evidence of it, and I think you might see it start to change now, but we were seeing a lot of evidence of carriers cutting out the dead weight and actually reducing, if not directly reducing, mileage rates to the owner-operator, reducing some of the things they were paying for, cutting out some of the benefits, changing their systems, and everybody was in survival mode trying to save money. And, you know, as demand comes back, I think it's going to be quite a while before you see it raise the mileage rate to an owner-operator. But like you said, when it's percentage, it's immediate. As soon as the loads start paying better, the owner-operator starts making more money.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that I've loved about your system, and I've worked with you guys for years, and I don't think a lot of people understand it. And, you know, you talk a lot about freedom, and that is really true, but what makes your system different? I mean, why are owner-operators more free in your system than in the typical lease to a carrier?
Well, in a phrase, Kevin, we don't have any forced dispatch. But how that plays out at Landstar, we have over 1,000 agents that are out calling on customers every day, soliciting loads, booking loads, and making those loads available to our owner-operator, our BCO base. And when you have thousands of salespeople out there booking thousands of loads, all of that comes into our system from the agent offices, goes out via our internet load board, and boom, that's when you have thousands of loads available from the agents to the BCOs. So if you're in, and I'm just going to make up a city, if you're in Birmingham today and your dispatcher offers you three loads at company ABC, and on the other hand, you're in you're with Landstar in Birmingham, and you look and you see there's 70 loads available out of Birmingham today. That's a big difference.
So we, in your system, I don't call a dispatcher.
No, we will sometimes say in a typical system you have one dispatcher, many trucks. In the Landstar system, you have one truck, the truck the BCO owns, and many dispatchers, the agents. So the agents put their freight into the system. The BCO has the opportunity to choose from that freight based on whatever his or her criteria is. It may be rate, but it may be destination. I want to go home, so I'm looking for something out of Birmingham, for example, to get me back home. It may be I've got another load that I know I can run in 3 days up in Cleveland, so I want to get up toward Cleveland. There's any number of reasons, but what makes us unique is the owner-operator reasons are the most important reasons, and he makes that decision for his own or her own reason.
Well, and the other thing, you know, you have all that load selection. You have all those opportunities to look for a load. But on the other hand, I don't have to check in with anybody, right? I don't have, like, set times that I have to check in with dispatch. And you're pretty much dispatching yourself, right?
That is correct. And customers require certain communications. We require our BCOs to follow the law. But short of those requirements, there's no check-in requirements. We don't have a minimum loads per month or loads per week that the BCOs have to run. No, it is you are truly dispatching yourself.
You know, one of the things that I've been teaching just in the last, I think it's been the last three CMCs, for years I've been teaching increasing your revenue by watching expenses and managing expenses. And one of the reasons I teach it is because it's easier to teach. I mean, there are some absolute formulas. If we can save X on fuel, X on maintenance, that goes right to the bottom line. And in business, there's only two ways to make more money and to keep more money. One is to increase your revenue, and the other is to decrease your expenses. And I've primarily for years focused on decreasing expenses because it was easier. In the last couple of years, I started teaching load selection for higher profit. And I've been working on the formula for a long time, and there are so many factors involved. There's fuel price in any given lane, rate in any given lane, how far we have to deadhead to get to that load, how many days the load is going to take from start to finish, so that affects our fixed cost. And what I'm finding as I start to teach that system is that many owner-operators, even when they're in a percentage contract, they have so few choices of loads that they almost get frustrated with the method that I'm teaching, because you have to have a big availability of loads in order to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found, though, is in your system, and I've got this calculator that I wrote that will compare up to five loads, and it compares all the factors, and it uses your fixed cost and your variable cost, and it actually tells you which load is going to be most profitable per day. And in a system like yours, with all that option, I mean, I find five loads that I'm interested in, I plug them in, and I get this really great number that starts to teach me how to watch lanes. But the only people that it's working really well for are either somebody with their own authority because they have all the load boards to pick from, or even better, guys in your system. And one of the things I've always said is that being with Landstar is as close as you can get to having your own authority without really having your own authority.
I was just going to say that, Kevin. When you brought up the own authority, I was going to say, funny you say that. But you're right. We do have a lot of freight to choose from. But I'll tell you something else. Some folks will go, wow, well, how would I choose? We have some great tools and great programs to help you source your way through that and find the load that's right for you. And I'll just give you one example. We have a technology called Load Alerts that allows our BCOs to set up a subscription that says Hey, using my Birmingham example again, Kevin, I'm headed to Birmingham. Show me or send me a message or call me anytime, and you can get either an email or a phone call. The first time an agent puts a load in our system that's going from Birmingham back to Jacksonville, and it pays me at least $2 a mile. And I put that subscription into the system, and then I can focus on operating my truck safely. And when a load hits the system that meets that requirement, I get that email or phone call, pull over safely, make the call, book the load, I'm on my way. But that system, while I'm driving, is constantly searching our freight board like your employee of the month, looking for the load that I have said today is my perfect load. It's like,
yeah, that,
it's like hiring an employee that you don't have to pay.
Yeah. Where can I find some of those?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have continued to improve your systems over the years. You know, I remember there was a time when if there was anything I would criticize, it was the fact that your system wasn't for everybody because there was a learning curve and you had to really kind of know what you were doing. And over the years, you guys have improved that tremendously with internal training and systems and, you know, support for the BCOs.
We have a great support staff for our BCOs, and everybody learns at a different pace. What you may grasp the first time you hear it may take me 3 or 4 listenings before I get it, and we recognize that. And so we have a system in place that we'll introduce you to, or a new Landstar BCO to, on day one, and he can take or she can take advantage of that support for as long as is necessary until they're comfortable running in the lanes that they've chosen to run in. So we have great people in there. We have some of our former BCOs running those classes, and they are very, very well accepted by the people that attend them. I get calls monthly telling me, boy, am I glad I went to that. Didn't know if it was going to work for me, but I went in, and you know, Al in Indianapolis did a great job explaining some of those nuances, if you will, of the system. So we have some great support systems in place.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, before I used to tell people, you know, you're either going to make it or break it in the first 6 months to a year over there. And some people just, you know, didn't catch on. And I think those numbers have changed quite a bit. I think there's a better learning curve now, a quicker learning curve. It's easier to get into the system. And yet the longer you're there, the better you do. I mean, I know I stay in contact with a lot of your BCOs. A lot of them have been through my CMCs, and I work with them all the time. And the longer they're in that system, the more money they make, the better they manage the system, and the happier they are. It's just there are a lot of nuances, and there's just a, you know, the more you learn over time, the better it gets.
Who wouldn't benefit from learning more every day? I know I learn something new every day, and for me anyway, that's what keeps me going, because I like learning something new every day. And you know, that's not unique to the Landstar trucking business. You can learn as much as you want to learn, and as you say, the more you know, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah, and we all need to do that. And I've progressed with the way that I help people in your system. Like I say, in the beginning, it was a lot of, you know, watching numbers, managing expenses. And one of the things that I progressed onto, and we talked a little bit about it, but I want to expand on it now, is another option in your system that I really like is the ability to own your own trailer if you decide to. And we don't have that freedom at most carriers, especially van carriers. I mean, it's a little more common in the flatbed side, but on the van side, it's just not very common to be able to own your own trailer with a carrier. And I'm looking at possibly 10 to 15% improvement in fuel mileage if we can control that trailer. And that, you know, something we haven't really looked at before. But when we start looking at tires and aerodynamics and a lot of the things that are available now, if I control that trailer, I also control my bottom line on expenses, and in your system, you get paid more to own the trailer, correct?
That's correct. There's a percentage pay for the trailer, and it varies based on the type of trailer. But you hit on a couple of things there, Kevin, that I think is worth repeating. First of all, you can own your own trailer. But second, the type of trailer that you own offers something of a career path, and I'll just give a brief example. I may come into Landstar today with a flatbed, and I run that for a little while, and I look around our board and I say, boy, you know what? The RGN double drop business is paying me a little bit more. I can go out, purchase an RGN. Landstar has some training that I can take to learn a little bit more about how to operate that trailer in the safest way possible, how to properly secure freight. We have cargo securement training that we offer every week. And I can then move from flatbed to double drop and make more money running the same or in this example, probably fewer miles. And so you get a little bit of a career path going back to the mileage-based pay. If I'm getting $1.09 a mile, I'm getting $1.09 a mile, and the only way I can get more money is to run more miles. In our system, you can buy a trailer, you can buy a different type of trailer, you can run a different lane. There's all sorts of things you can do to move up that revenue ladder, if you will.
Can I even own multiple kinds of trailers?
You can own multiple kinds of trailers, and some folks do that because certain times a year, one type of trailer has freight, that is more plentiful than other times of year. And trailers last a long time, you know that. And once it's paid for, it's still running just fine. And they're fairly low maintenance product. Trailers are built very well these days, and they are fairly low maintenance, fairly inexpensive to keep.
Yeah, there's just not that much to maintain on them. And I do know, many contractors in your system and many very successful contractors that run multiple kinds of trailers, and it's one of those things that they've learned over the years. They know kind of when to move in and out of the different types of equipment to keep the revenue at its highest, and they keep expenses down, and it works out really well for them. And again, that's part of that freedom. There are so few systems that you can do that. Even if I run my own authority, it's really difficult to keep multiple kinds of trailers. If I'm going to run my own authority with one truck or even two or three, I just can't go out and sell that kind of freight. I can't follow that kind of freight. I can't keep up with customers. So in your system, that's a huge advantage over having your own authority, is I don't have to worry about finding freight for all of those kinds of trailers. If I just have the equipment, the freight's already there. It's in the system.
You're right, Kevin. And you can't, if you are running one truck under your own authority, you can't head out in one direction, switch trailers, and come back. That's just not possible. And if the density isn't there that you can run your flatbed for a while and then switch to a step deck or a double drop, it's going to be tough for you to do that with multiple trailer types.
Yeah, it is. I see the lines are completely full, and we've got a couple questions. Do you want to take some?
I sure do. Bring them on.
All right. Let's go to Wyoming to start off the show. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin. How you doing, Rocco?
Great, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be better.
Good.
I'm on vacation. I'm a Landstar BCO. It's a working vacation.
Vacation is a good place to be.
And I'm a BCO, and my wife's an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm curious about, and you guys pull reefers, why don't you guys advertise that you pull reefers?
I'm not sure what you mean by advertise. Why don't we?
I'm looking at for recruitment. I'm looking at a Landstar advertisement, and then you got flatbed, step deck, low boy, double drop, multi axle, heavy haul, specialized in van. Sometimes when we've made some sales calls, the customer wants reefer freight too, and they want one carrier.
I'll tell you what, Jeff. I would love to talk with you about this offline. The honest answer is we don't have the density of reefer freight in our system today to recruit to it. But your wife's agency, you've got some regional sales manager, area sales manager. Let's talk to that person about that, and we have some answers for you there.
Okay, yeah, I've been thinking about this all week, and I thought that was a good place to go. So
yeah.
I appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Rocco.
Hey, you know, Rocco, that brings up another point, and I know I've worked with a bunch of contractors over the years that have this same setup. Do you see this a lot where the husband or let's just say the spouse is out running the truck on the road moving freight, and the other spouse, whether it's husband or wife, is actually an agent and is out finding the freight?
Mm-hmm.
See that quite a bit?
Actually, no, we don't see that all that often, Kevin. We do have a few of that, but that's fairly uncommon.
Okay.
It, being an agent sounds good. It's hard work.
I absolutely know that for a fact. I've been there. I've done it. Not for Landstar, but I've been a broker and an agent, and I don't think most people realize how much work it really is.
Yeah, and you have to be committed to doing that. And in a lot of cases, it's a two-person job. But some people make it work, and I guess that's one of the great things about Landstar. Freedom. You can make that work. Make it work.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I find, because I get this question a lot, is somebody will say, well, you know, I think I'd like to be a broker or an agent. And the one thing I think they forget, or maybe they don't realize in the beginning, and I did this when I actually went through a broker school a long time ago. And the one thing that people forget is at least half of the brokerage. And like you said, it usually really should be two people. Somebody's got to be out pounding on doors all day long finding freight, and that is a tough job.
And somebody's got to be, you know, working to find trucks to move that freight, Kevin. And that's why I say if you're a one-person operation, boy, that's tough.
Well, and when I had a brokerage and an agency, it was two of us, and it was all that I could do it with two people. In fact, that's why I gave it up. I was working way too hard for the amount of money I was making.
Well, good first call.
All right, let's try Hugh this time. Hugh, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin. Good evening, Rocco.
Hello, Hugh. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Trailers. The program that Landstar seems to change from time to time. What does Landstar offer right now to assist BCOs in acquiring a trailer?
In terms of
financing
for the trailer purchase, Hugh?
Right. Well, financing mostly is what I'm thinking.
We have a finance program that offers a low down payment, usually about 5%, and then a pretty good rate on the financing, and I can't quote that rate to you, Hugh, just because I don't know what it is, but it is typically right at or below what you would find in the open market. And in a trailer purchase, when it's a 4 or 5 year term on a $25,000 principal, there's not a great deal of difference in payment when you move up a point or down a point insurance wise. But that the big thing about that finance program is that low down payment really makes it a trailer accessible to someone. If you only have to put $1,500 down as opposed to $4,500 down to purchase a trailer, that makes that trailer that much more accessible.
I'm not sure where I saw this, if it was on the website or a notice I got, or it was talking about some trailers, specific trailers available. Does Landstar actually buy and sell trailers to the BCOs?
We don't buy and sell them, Hugh, but what we will do is order in advance a group of trailers to bring the price of the individual trailer down, and we'll do this through Great Dane, or we'll do this through one of the other suppliers. And so instead of you purchasing a trailer through a dealer at retail, our LCAP department, Landstar Contractors Advantage Purchasing Program, those folks will go out, order trailers in advance in a group, get a quantity discount for those trailers, and then we'll start to market them before they're built and get folks signed up before the trailers hit the ground. In most cases, they're already sold.
Well, one of the biggest factors that Kevin pushes on buying trailers is the fact that you can improve your fuel economy by specking a trailer out for fuel economy,
mm-hmm.
Reducing aerodynamic drag and using low rolling resistance tires and so forth. The trailers that are ordered that way with the group or discount, is there any flexibility on those specifications that would for somebody like me, if I was going to buy a trailer, it would be the sole purpose of improving my fuel economy.
Mm-hmm.
Are these trailers? I mean, can you get them with skirting or nose cones or wide single low rolling resistance tires and that sort of thing? Or
the short answer to that, Hugh, is yes, you can. The skirting and the nose cone, especially, are things that you can add to the trailer after it is built. The wide base tires, you can typically swap that out, and they'll just put the duals back into stock. They'll put the wide base tires on it, and you'll be on your way. We do. I'm always surprised how many Landstar BCOs every year at our Appreciation Days event we'll have some of our tire vendors in there, because the trucks are parked while folks are, at our headquarters eating good and learning a lot. The trucks are parked, and so we'll have a couple of tire vendors down there swapping out tires. And it's amazing how many people year after year make that swap on their tractors from the duals to those new wide base tires. It's amazing to me anyway, Hugh.
So I would be able to get the bulk discount and still make some adjustments to the specifications for those sort of things.
Yes, if you call, I'll give you a phone number if you want to call the LCAP department and talk about that with them in the morning. They can walk you through that whole process. Do you have a pen?
Sure.
That group's number is 800-531.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
5227. And I don't know what they have ordered today. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
800-531-5227.
Right. I started to say I don't know what they have ordered or coming down the line right now. But as I say, skirts are something that, that's a bolt-on. The nose cone is a bolt-on. And I know we can swap the tires out. We've done that in the past.
Kevin, what else would I have to do to that trailer to make it right?
Well, while I was sitting here listening, I got thinking that the great thing about trailers, when we talk tractors, we have to have really good base specs to start with. And there are certain specs on the tractor that it's not feasible to really change after the fact. If it's got the wrong engine, forget it. I mean, we're stuck with it. Gearing we can change, but it's expensive. Transmission we might be able to change, but it's really expensive. Mm-hmm. The great thing about a trailer is, the trailer is the trailer. The base trailer is what it is, and all of the modifications for fuel efficiency and low maintenance cost are all add-ons. So we don't have to worry about changing any kind of base specs. Everything we want to do to a trailer can be done after the fact. So, I would, on top of the things you've already mentioned, I would put air tabs on the back.
Absolutely.
To improve the aerodynamics on the back. I really like if you're going to run wide singles, I like the tire inflation systems. But again,
let me ask you about that then, Kevin. One fellow BCO was telling me that he actually hooked up to a company trailer a couple months ago, and it had wide base singles on it. And
okay.
It did have the PSI system. Here's the thing. You've said that you like to run somewhere around 130 pounds.
Yeah, drive tires on the wide singles, I run pretty high.
Well, what about trailer tires? I know you don't own any trailers, but wouldn't it be up there around 120 or 130 as well?
Probably. That's something I need to look into, because I would definitely want a true trailer tire on the back.
Right.
Just
a very low rolling resistance, like 60 or But here's the thing about the PSI. It can only produce as much air pressure as my tractor will produce. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, because it's getting the air from the tractor system itself.
So, and mine, you know, runs between like 105 and 115.
Yeah, so
and
we're not going
to... I'm thinking right. I'd probably do better just to check my tires every day than to have that hooked in, wouldn't it?
You know, I'd have to do some research on that. If we could bump the compressor.
Okay, I'm not going to order it tomorrow. So, yeah, if you can find out something about that, let me know.
Yeah, there's two options I can think of. Is one, you know, if we can manually inflate the tire to the pressure we want, and then the PSI system is a fail-safe and a backup, or the other option is rather than an inflation system, I might just look at a monitoring system. So that, you know, I don't have as many tires to keep track of. I could have a real-time monitoring system in the cab. So, and that's kind of what I've been doing as I start looking at trailers as another option, is there's all kinds of factors, but it's on my list. We'll start doing the research.
That was some great information, Rocco. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Hugh. I appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks, Hugh. And,
Kevin, if I could interject something here, Landstar's company trailers have had that PSI system on for almost 15 years. So even when you're pulling our trailer, we've got that fuel-saving option available.
Which is really nice because I know, you know, in the system that I'm in, I pull four different trailers and two different dollies every day.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as much as I would love it if my drivers would actually, you know, check every trailer tire for pressure and, you know, air them up to the right pressure before they pull them because it's affecting my fuel mileage, I know they don't. And I know they're not going to. They're going to walk around, do a visual, thump them, make sure they're not flat, and pull it. So it's nice that even with the company trailers, I'm assured that the air pressure is right.
Yes. Yeah.
So... definitely something I would put on my own if I bought it. Now, while you guys were talking, I was looking through some of my notes here. Did you give out the LCAP number for him?
I did give out the LCAP number, yes.
And speaking of phone numbers, are you guys, do you have a number people can call? I know we've got a lot of people on the line. In fact, the lines are completely full. And if you're on the line right now and you've got a question, go ahead and press 1. There are some available lines open for questions. Press 1. Lisa will screen your call. We'll get to it in a little bit. But with the lines full, Rocco, if anybody has a question and they can't get through right now, who would they call?
They can call our recruiting staff in the morning. That number is 877-472-0112. Again, I'll repeat it. 877-472-0112.
I'm glad you repeated it because I didn't get it all the first time.
Geez, and I even thought I slowed down.
You know, I figured out this whole rating thing. You have to say it really, really slow, and you have to say it twice because one of the things that I try to do when somebody's given a phone number is I try to write it, and I don't know if it's my ADD that kicks in or what, but I need it twice to get it right.
Well, I'm glad I gave it twice then.
So you guys are looking for new BCOs then?
Sure we are.
Okay, good. And that's pretty much across the board. No matter what anybody might be interested in pulling, they should give that same number a call.
They should. And you know what? If you just want to learn a little more about Landstar, there's nothing wrong with giving that number a call. Those folks are happy to spend a little time and answer your specific questions. You're not going to get a hard sell if you call that number because you're curious.
Good. That's good to hear. One of the things you mentioned while you were talking to Hugh was the LCAP program, and we haven't really talked about that at all. And I know you're very familiar with that program. What is LCAP?
Well, LCAP, it's an acronym for Landstar Contractors Advantage Purchasing Program. And you're right. You know, I am very familiar with it. That's where I started at Landstar, and I spent 10 years in that department building it building it up. But primarily, it's a way. You talked earlier, if you want to make more money, you can increase your revenue and you can reduce your expenses. The money that you keep is the difference between the two, and LCAP is a great way to reduce your expenses. Landstar BCOs received more than $13 million in fuel rebates, fuel discounts last year through the LCAP program. Landstar BCOs buy more than 30,000 tires through that program every year. Kevin, on our at national account, Landstar volume pricing saving $50, $75, $100 a tire. That way. So we have, trailer purchasing. I mentioned that to Hugh. We have new tractor rebates. We have trailer financing. It's a very, very comprehensive program to really help folks manage and reduce their costs.
Yeah, and I'm pretty familiar with it. I mean, it was one of the reasons I got in touch with you guys, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever it was, because I was interested in that program, because it's a lot of what I do. I teach people how to lower their costs.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing the program over the years and how it's progressed, we have about 14 minutes left, and you couldn't begin to tell us all the discounts that are available in the program in 14 minutes.
No, I couldn't. And that's really why I hit the tires and fuel. Everybody buys fuel every day, and the average discount per gallon with us is in the 12 to 15 cent range reliably. Sometimes it goes far, far greater than that, depending on what's happening in the fuel markets. But everybody buys fuel every day. I don't know anybody who can afford to pass up a discount of 10 cents a gallon.
No, that's huge.
That's huge.
That's big. And tires, I know I work with a couple of your tire vendors directly on a lot of things, and I'm a big Michelin fan, and you've got some great programs with Michelin.
Michelin, Bridgestone, Goodyear, Yokohama, we have great pricing. The BCOs are buying the tires essentially at what Landstar is buying the tires for. It's a great volume program. And remember, 30,000 tires a year that the BCOs purchase, another 20,000 that Landstar purchases for his own trailers, 50,000 tires a year, we're passing along that kind of savings.
That's a lot of tires.
That's a lot of tires.
Hey, I have a question from the chat room, and it's not really complete, but I'll try to get the idea across. Can you talk at all about your Canadian system? We have a ton of Canadian listeners on the program, so I think there's a lot of interest in how that works for them.
It really isn't any different than our U.S.-based system. It's a percentage-based pay. We have agents in Canada that have intra-Canada freight. We have agents in Canada that have freight that crosses the border. We have agents in the U.S. that have freight that goes up that way. So there really isn't a great deal of difference between the two systems.
Okay. Is it the same phone number?
That same phone number will get you to the right people. Yes, sir.
And that phone number, again, is 877-472-0112, and that works on both sides of the border then, right?
Sure does.
Excellent. All right. I think I've got a call on the line. Let's go see what we've got. Let's go to Orlando. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Good.
Great.
What's up?
Rocco, I was wondering exactly how hard is it to get on with Landstar?
Well, that's kind of a wide-open question, Patrick. Can you narrow that down somewhat? Landstar has minimum qualifications like everyone else, but can you narrow that question down for me a little bit?
Well, I've been driving over the road for the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Averaging about 170,000 miles. I've got a 2010 Cascadia. It's a lease purchase. I believe it has to be a purchase or actual ownership to lease on with Landstar.
I didn't hear what you called it, a lease purchase?
Yeah, it's currently a lease purchase.
Yeah, we have those in our system, Patrick. I don't think we'll have any problem there. We would need to be able to verify your experience, You know, we would look for a clean MVR. Our minimums are posted at our website. They're fairly standard stuff. I would encourage you, Patrick, to give that phone number a call tomorrow and talk to somebody there, one of those representatives for Landstar, and they can really get the process for you in depth and answer some specific questions that you had about that. But, you know, Kevin has talked about, do we have any minimum age of a tractor, and the answer is no, that the tractors have to be able to pass a DOT inspection, and then we require, and by the way, we pay for three inspections a year after that. So, but if you're a safe operator, we'd love to talk to you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, if you're on the line, we're down to we're just about 8 minutes left in the program, but if you're on the line and you've got a question, we still have time to get to a couple more. Just press one on your phone, and Lisa will get to those calls. And I know, we had some questions in the chat room, Rocco, and before I could get them to you, you have some BCOs in the chat room already answering them for people.
Oh.
You're doing a great. Isn't that great?
Our biggest fans.
I know. They're doing a great job of it, too. There was
I'll tell you, Kevin, we have some great people leased to Landstar. Just truly salt of the earth, good people, genuinely want to help. And some of our, you know, I mentioned earlier, our appreciation days, we have a big party and open house down at our headquarters in Jacksonville every January. And the peer-to-peer learning that takes place in those events, and I think you've even hosted some breakout meetings there, and you've probably experienced it. Someone asks you a question, and like you just said, before you can even answer it, someone else in the room answers it, and they're speaking from experience, and there's not a better teacher than that.
You know, it is. I do seminars all over the place, and I have done some seminars at Landstar, and I always have fun doing it. But you're exactly right. That's the big difference for me doing it there, is that I'll get very specific questions about Landstar's system, and I don't have that experience. I mean, I can answer them generally, but there's always somebody in the room. And what the seminars almost always turn into is almost more of a round table where we're all just discussing. You know, I might throw out a strategy for cost savings, and then I'll get three or four or five BCOs in the room that will expand on it and say, that works, and here's how I make it work in our system. And I'm always amazed that they're all willing to share with each other and teach each other how to do that, and it works great.
It sure does, Kevin, and I mentioned earlier some of our support programs. We have three or four former BCOs on staff who lead our training groups, and those folks are available not just in those classes, but in the afternoons and on Fridays to take questions, individual situations. You know what? If you're running at Landstar and you just think you could be doing better, but you don't know how, or you want to make a change, that's exactly what those folks are there for. We call that the CABS program. Again, it's available through any of our orientation centers, but those folks do a great job of taking a look at what you've been doing and making some suggestions at where they think you might pick up a couple of cents a mile, either on the top line or on the bottom line.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about the system is it's one of the few systems where you have that option on both sides. And again, I've said this, but I'm going to say it again. For years, I taught people how to lower expenses, how to, you know, increase the money you keep. And I didn't focus a lot on the revenue side because so few owner-operators have a lot of control over that. You know, they're either in a mileage contract where, like you said earlier, the only way to increase in a mileage contract revenue anyway is to just run more miles. And I don't think any of us really want to do that. I mean, we all run about as hard as we can run, so we don't want to just drive more miles. But in your system, there's a way to do it on both ends. And, it's almost never ending. I mean, there's learning in this education process that just keeps going on, which means we always have more opportunity on both sides, to increase revenue and decrease expense.
Yeah, and I think you said it at the start of the program, but if I could paraphrase, it doesn't matter what you make or what you generate. It's what you keep that matters, and what you keep is the difference between what you generate and what it costs you to generate it.
Yeah,
you need to work on both sides of that teeter-totter.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got another question. Let's go to Texas this time. Ronald, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin, Rocco?
Hi, Ronald.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to kind of reiterate some of the things that you said earlier. I'm a new BCO, relatively new anyway. I started over here in October, and this is my first truck that I've ever owned. I came from the company driver's side, and I've never been happier, and the freedom over here is just phenomenal.
That's great to hear, Ronald. Have you met, I think if you're down in Texas, did you meet Chris Cleveland at our center there in Dallas?
Yeah, right before Christmas, I went in there and took the business class.
Yeah.
And I learned so much. I went back a second time just to get some more information and sat in on a second class.
Ronald, I had a guy who went on with us for 20-plus years who went through that class and called me to tell me how much he learned. 20 years, and he still, there's just still things to learn. I said it earlier, we always got to keep learning, and we have people out there who are willing and able to help you do that.
All right, and I'd like to say, you know, anybody that's thinking about coming over here and maybe even just a little bit scared, it was a little bit scary, especially since I'd never owned a truck before. But once I got over here, it took me probably about a month to figure things out and be able to move myself around the country. And it's amazing the amount of freight that's out here. And, you know, you were talking about earlier using the load alert. And I was coming across from came from California, and I was in El Paso earlier today. And I'm unloading in San Antonio tomorrow morning. And I had my load alert set up, and I picked up a load going up to the house. I was just looking to see what was out there and what was going home. It'll be about, by the time I get to the house, I will have been out for right about 7 days.
Good. That's a good, yeah.
Yeah, I left out on a Saturday, and I'll be back home probably on Saturday again this week.
Well, Ronald, that's great to hear. It's nice to set that alert and then focus on what you should be focused on, which is the task at hand, driving safely.
And you know, Rocco, we're down to about 2 minutes. We're just about out of time here, so I'm going to have to wrap this up. But I want to point out that, you know, 10 years ago, that was probably a guy that, had he come to me and said, hey, look, I'm thinking about buying my first truck, and I want to go lease on the Landstar, I might have talked him out of it, because I thought it was a kind of a tough system to get into. But over the years, you guys have improved that training so much that I think we see a lot more guys like this now, that they are able to get in and learn the system and be successful at it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Kevin. And we'll continue to learn and tweak it and do what we need to do to provide the support that our BCOs need. I said it earlier, everybody learns at different rates. We're here to support you all the way through that.
All right. We are just about out of time. I want to thank you for coming on, and we're going to have you on again in the future. In the future, we might even get into more detail on numbers and programs and things like that. We just wanted to give a real overview of your system. The phone number, I know we had some calls that we just didn't get to, and I apologize, we're out of time, but if you have any questions at all, the phone number to call, 877-472-0112. Anything you want to wrap up with, Rocco?
I just want to thank you for having me. We look forward to hearing from folks again. Just if you have any questions at all, call that number. Those folks there are experts. They'll answer your questions. And again, Kevin, I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Great to have you here, and we will have you on again soon. And I've got to get out of here, so thanks, everybody. Hey, I never got to the broker survey tonight. We had so much other stuff to talk about. I will I'll probably open up both tomorrow night and Friday night with some results from that broker survey so we can get to that. So tomorrow night, the Pit Politics in Trucking. Tune in for that. Friday night, Trends in Technology. I've got a couple things I'll be bringing to you then, and I will go over some of the broker benchmark numbers on both of those shows. In a half hour, the live show's coming up on Sirius XM, so please join me for that. And check out the website. It's letstruck.com. Be safe, be profitable, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.